Epitaphs, how we are remembered. You can test yourself on who you think might have said the following or had the following on their headstones. I told you I was ill. Very good. Spike Milligan. It's not a competition, Chris. It's all right. It's all right. It's fine. We're all in this together. Yeah, that's fine. You did it the hard way. Betty Davis. You've come home. Lucille Ball. I am ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter. Winston Churchill. A tomb now suffices him for whom the world was not enough. Alexander the Great. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Martin Luther King Jr. What would you want somebody to say of you when you are no longer here? When we're in heaven? Or in fact, when we've left the room? Have you ever had that difficult situation where you've come back in on a conversation and somebody's talking about you and they didn't know you'd come back? And often in funerals, people have to struggle with summing up a life in a few words. The impact they've had, the life they've led, the values they've portrayed, the relationships they've formed, the memories that have been made. And the core of this is what we believe and how we've lived as a result. What our lives are a testimony to. What kind of person were they? What do they build their life upon? And I think there's one word in both these passages that we've had from Acts and the Gospel today that sum that up. It's witnesses. Witnesses, which is why it's the verse of the week. What or who are we witnessing to? What is it that we point to in the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we think? And obviously for those who follow Jesus, there should be some synergy ongoingly and increasingly. The passage in Acts, we don't get the whole story, but it's following the healing of the lame beggar. And Peter is sort of telling the story again of what has happened shortly after his healing. And there's this great line, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." And of course, they had first-hand experiences of meeting the risen Lord Jesus. But we have that spiritual sense and confidence that 2 weeks ago we celebrated the event that changed everything, an empty tomb, a risen Lord. We are witnesses. Or are we? What is it that's seen in us? What is it that we're building our life on? What do we know to be true and how is it shown? I sense that probably all of you have had, at some point, somebody saying this or words like it. Call yourself a Christian. Or call yourself a vicar. You should know better. Oh, I've got them in spades. Anyway, don't worry. I've got my old plates on. We're all learning. And I guess in those situations, we just have to put our hand up and recognise that, you know, we've messed up or we've been often misunderstood. But it does raise the question, what do people say about Louise and I when we're not in the room with you? It's gone very quiet. Everyone thought, look ahead, don't give any sense of facial expression there. Okay? But, you know, it's an important point because, of course, one thing that we should be doing as brothers and sisters in the same family is when things happen that are perhaps a little bit grating or are great, let's share that with one another in a way that's loving. That's really, really important. So I looked up the literal translation of what a witness is, and of course it has legal terms. There's a sense of somebody having been called to come to a court, to a public arena. They need to be present to speak of the evidence. And the evidence is they testify to what they know, what they have witnessed. And of course, in these early passages in the New Testament, what we have are the eyewitness, actual events, the sense of feeling and touching and knowing the reality of a risen Lord Jesus Christ. So they concern the events of Jesus' death and resurrection. One, he is present with them, and there's that lovely story of a fish barbecue. You know, it's one of those kind of minor issues. Will we eat in heaven? Well, it seems the risen Lord Jesus did have broiled fish. I don't want to build too much on that. It's a minor point. But my sense is that we won't be in heaven going, oh, I wish I could have a steak. Because it wouldn't be heaven otherwise. And there's one without, as Peter retells the story of what he's seen and what he's known. Both in those situations are a call to be witnesses to the event of the resurrection. And of course that means, what do we do as a result? What's our invitation? Now on Wednesday evening, there was the platform for a really good community event. It was the Silso Social Fair. There were lots of various stallholders who came to tell about their passions and their interests, their hobbies and activities that work within the Silso community and beyond. And I went with a number of people from our church to represent the church, not surprisingly. The trouble was there were more stallholders than there were people who came in through the door. If you were there, you know I'm telling the truth here. I try and tell the truth. But, you know, after a while I thought, well, here's an opportunity. I'm here for 2 hours. What am I going to do? I'll just go around and chat with people. Now, interestingly, most people are quite fearful of anything that says church or Jesus. So not that many people came over to our table, although one or two did, which was great, because we went round looking, well, your table looks better than mine, or my table is better than yours, but I won't tell you. It was that kind of thing. But we had big bowls of chocolate on our table, and very few people came and took them. It was like, oh, well, I'm not sure, you know, what's Simon done to them? So what I did was I just went round, and amazingly, when you go round to people and offer them a bar of chocolate, guess what they do? That's very nice, thank you very much. And in microcosm, that's what we need to do as witnesses. We can imagine that we can stay in a building or in a place, and people will come to us, and occasionally they do. But actually, we need to go to where people are. We need to go to people, not with bowls of chocolate, although that's a good start, but the story of what Jesus has done in our lives. That's the key, to share the good news. And that is what these passages are saying about being witnesses, to tell out, to preach, to declare, to bring to full measure, which is literally what witnesses mean. And why do we do this? Is it to make us feel really embarrassed? Because sometimes we do find it hard to share our faith. But if you're telling your story, very rarely will you be critiqued. People might not agree with you, but it's your story and it's your reality. So we need to learn to tell our story of faith and how we met Jesus. But there's some beautiful words that Jesus encourages us with. His start of his public ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So whether you like it or not, Christianity is not meant to be a silent faith system. There is something about proclaiming in word and action, being witnesses of what it is to follow Jesus. And that comes out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You are my witnesses. Go and make disciples. And at the end of Matthew's gospel as well. And today, you know, we have the pleasure of sharing the journey of what God's been doing in this church and this community over the last year. But if we all were telling our story and living out our lives more Christ-like, it would be packed, because the influence that we have, and I know you have already, and that's the thing that we want to encourage you to do, to be confident in being witnesses to Jesus. That's all it is. You come here, you recharge, and then you go out. And then our batteries flicker. We go through tough times. We struggle. We have an opportunity to perhaps share our faith, and we don't do it. But come back, recharge, and go out again. That's the journey. Look at the quality and the caliber of the people Jesus chose to spend 3 years with him, and be encouraged. They're just like us. They kept messing up. They kept failing. They even denied Jesus' existence. Yet, we are here today because of those men and women sharing and being witnesses to the resurrection. So how do we go about doing it? Well, we engage with people. We make contact. You know, we're all in contact with people. Do they know of your faith story? Have empathy. Boy, I need to learn this. You know, I need to listen, to understand, to literally be wearing the shoes of the other person and recognizing where they are and being sensitive to it. And when the time is right or appropriate, to explain. You know, there's nothing worse than meeting a vicar who says, "I know what you need," before they've even heard what they've said. Let's listen and be sensitive. And there's some beautiful scripture to encourage us. How beautiful are those, the feet of those who bring good news. That's in Romans chapter 10. But our witness can be weak or confusing if we think it's private. The Christian faith was never meant to be private. If it was private, none of us would have heard about it. We're called to share. It's weak or confusing if we're just nice. There's nothing wrong in being nice, but if all somebody can say about us is, "Oh, they're nice," we've kind of missed something. If we use strange language, and I'll put my hand up, you know, I've been a Christian for much of my life now. Vicars just say strange things, don't they? Oh, my word. And you're all very polite, and you just go, "I'll pretend I didn't hear that," or "I have no idea what Simon's talking about, but I'll smile nicely." Let's use normal language to communicate, not confusing language. And we have unusual customs. If people come into church and they're not used to church, all the time they're going, "Well, that's odd. Why do they do that? Why do they say that? Why are we standing up now? Why are we sitting down? Where do we go?" We get used to it, but we need to recognize that it can even be a barrier to our witness to some of the things we do. So our invitation is good. We're good, powerful witnesses when we are gracious. We're thinking of others. When we're loving, because that's the nature of God. When we're peaceful. When we're serving. When we are Christ-like. And I guess the simplest prayer is, in any situation you find yourself in life, is, "Lord, help me to be more like you now. Amen." That's a very simple prayer, but it's a very profound one, because we're recognizing in humility and fragility we need help. Help me to be more like you in this situation now. And I guess that is the key. It's about being vulnerable, being honest and open to one another, being kind, being kind. So people are left, having met us, something of meeting God and going, I love that idea of somebody encountering God, whether it be in a building, in a service, or in the lives of those who follow him, where they're left going, "I need to think a little bit more about that." Adrian Plass is a Christian writer who's very well known, and he's made a living and he's been a great service to the church about sort of poking fun at some of the weird and strange things we do. But he was describing this sense of being a witness. And he said, too often, Christians throw a dinner party and we give the guests the recipe and not the food. And that's really struck me. We tell people what to do. We say, go and do it, but we don't demonstrate it ourselves and meet them where they are by throwing a sumptuous banquet. And it's in that generosity of witness that things begin to change. So I've been really struck. Am I in my encounters as a vicar giving people a recipe and not the meal? So look forward to more meals. It's got to be a good thing. And then God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, and then I remembered that most of Christ's encounters with people, which were transformative, were around a meal table. Because suddenly we're all equal. Suddenly there's a sense that we're sharing. Suddenly we're real, we're human. So let's not give the recipe. Let's feed people with the truth and the glory of the good news. The experience, not the theory. So let's invite people to taste and see, to feel and know Jesus, and to see him in us, and to be witnesses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing testimony and the witness of your early followers. We are here as a result of it. Help us in our unique setting, with our unique gifts, in our unique relationships, to witness to your love and to share good news. Help us to feed people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.